The reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, which is on page 869 of the Church Bibles. That's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Hi there. Hello again. Some time ago, I was upset about something. I'd been upset about it the day before, and it was now the next day, and it was still really getting to me. My wife, Thea, she didn't really know what to do, and in the end, she sent an email to my dad, and she asked him to call me. And so my dad called me, and initially I was like, "Why are you calling me?" But I worked out what was going on, and I explained everything to him, and he gave me his advice, and he prayed with me. And even as I spoke to him, the cloud in my head like lifted, and I felt much better about everything. According to Jesus, the starting point of prayer is seeing God as our Father. And being able to speak to a father about something, of course, can make all the difference. We've been thinking this morning about having God as our Father, but straight up, let's just talk about bad fathers. Some of us won't have had a father who was ready to listen to us or care about our needs, or we sadly might not have even had a father who was present in our young lives at all. If that's the case for you, I would ask you to imagine your ideal dad. Imagine your ideal father. That is the father that God is to us. God is a father who is always there for us, always willing to listen to us, and who is always able to help us. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus characterizes God the Father as a father who loves his children and one who wants to hear his children speaking to him in prayer. I hope to convince us this morning that prayer is important, that it is in so many ways a means of grace that God uses to bless us and those around us, and that therefore our lives should be full of prayers to our Heavenly Father. In a sentence, what we're learning today is this: Christians pray persistently to our Heavenly Father. We're going to break that down into 3 parts. So the first part is simply Christians pray. I wonder whether you've seen it. In the BBC sitcom King Gary, Gary King, the Essex geezer de diva, he has an argument with his fiancée, Terry. And the next day, Terry won't speak to him. And he keeps sending her messages, but she won't reply. And you see him freaking out about this to his pretty unimpressed neighbour, Ramesh Ranganathan. Gary explains that he's never ever gone this long without speaking to Terry before. And Ramesh points out that he spoke to her last night and it's not even lunchtime yet. On a serious note, though, we all probably know of family members who have not spoken to each other for probably, you know, a lot longer than a few hours, maybe like months or years or even decades. And of course, we all know what that means. It sadly means that there is, you know, something seriously wrong with their relationship. To look at things the other way around, we might say that good relationships require communication. To be truly family means talking. This helps us to begin to understand why prayer is a non-negotiable for Christians. Christians pray. We are, of course, Jesus' followers, and we follow in his footsteps. Look back at Luke 11, if you've got that open, and look at verse 1. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." When Jesus prayed, his disciples took notes, and they wanted to pray too. Now, this wasn't a one-off occurrence. Luke records in several places how Jesus frequently prayed to his Father. So if you want to flick back a few pages or look it up on your phone, we'll look at a few examples of this. So the first is Luke 5, verse 16. Luke 5, verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Next is Luke chapter 6, verse 12. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Luke 9, verse 18. And now it happened that he was praying alone. The disciples were with him. Luke 9, verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. In Luke 10, verse 21, we get the words that on one occasion Jesus spoke to his Father as he prayed. On earth, Jesus was, in a sense, like separated from his Father in heaven, and yet he spoke to him in prayer regularly about anything and everything. And when his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," well, he didn't just say, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's just between me and my Father." His response is in verse 2 of Luke chapter 11. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father.'" Jesus expects his followers, the disciples and us, to pray. He doesn't say, "If you pray." He says, "When you pray." And the first line of what we now know as the Lord's Prayer starts, of course, with "Father." Jesus expects us to follow his example and speak to our Heavenly Father. Just for a second, imagine if we didn't. Imagine if we, like family members who didn't get along, just didn't speak to our Heavenly Father. That just wouldn't do. Christians pray. To help us pray, Jesus gives us three priorities for our prayers. The first is his kingdom. It says, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." As his children, we want God's name to be honoured and his kingdom to grow. We can pray about this for our lives, that we be ruled by him, for the lives of others at Crossway. We can pray this about East London, about the wider world. We can pray for other local churches working for God's kingdom, our mission partners seeking to grow God's kingdom around the world. There is so much to pray for. The second priority is our needs. It says, give us each day our daily bread. And we can pray for God's fatherly care, help and provision in all areas of our lives so that we have what we need. We might be shy about asking for things for us, but Jesus doesn't want us to be. In those words we read together earlier from Philippians, the Apostle Paul tells us this, if you need any more encouragement. It says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The third priority is our holiness. It says, there's a few lines about this. It says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves have forgiven everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. These lines are an important reminder, aren't they, to prioritise our holiness in prayer. We need to regularly confess our sins before our Father and remember to forgive others. And we need to pray for help against temptation and for our growth in godliness. At this point, I hope you're thinking, I want to get praying to my Heavenly Father. So let's ask a key question. How can I get praying? To help answer this, I've actually asked a number of people at Crossway what helps them to pray. Thanks if you've helped out with this. And I've sort of pulled it together into three things. So the first thing that helps people to pray, I think, is structure. Like using a simple structure, like the Lord's Prayer, His kingdom, our needs, our holiness. Or some people pray acts, like adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Using a simple structure helps us, lots of us to know what to say. The second thing is place and time. Everyone says finding like a quiet place and a bit of time to pray is essential. People seem to do different things with their phones. Like some people switch off their phone. Someone even said they put it in another room so it doesn't distract them. Other people use a prayer app like PrayerMate. Thirdly, something that helps is praying with others. I mean, of course, the Lord's Prayer is not give me my daily bread, it's give us each day our daily bread. And lots of people find praying with others really helpful, whether it's meeting up for a coffee and a pray with someone from church or coming to our monthly church prayer meetings. Make sure you ask the person you're chatting to over coffee today what helps them to pray. And of course, remember our motivation to speak with our Heavenly Father who loves us. But it's not enough just to say Christians pray. Jesus says that Christians pray persistently. We went for our holiday this year to the sunny north of England. And we visited this Museum of the North. It had all these kind of buildings. It was this outdoor museum. There was like a real coal mine and a steam railway. There was an old fairground, a wartime farm, and these old-fashioned kind of working shops, like a bakery and a sweet shop and all that kind of stuff. And on one stall, they were selling souvenirs with colloquial northern sayings on them. Now, I'm going to say this wrong, but one was, shy bairns get out. Which, when translated into standard English, means shy children get nothing. Shy children get nothing. As it happens, this idea is lived out in real life every day in our household. When our children ask over and over again for whatever it is they want until, you know, if it's appropriate, they get it. The most familiar broken record at the moment goes something like this. Please can you play football with me in the garden, Dad? Please come and play football with me in the garden, Dad. You finish your coffee, you're pouring another coffee, you said you'd finish that coffee, and then you'd come and play football with me in the garden, Dad. Please can you come play football with me in the garden, Dad? You said you'd come 5 minutes ago, it's been 6 minutes now. Can you come play football with me in the garden, Dad? That book isn't work, you're reading for pleasure there. Can you come and play football with me in the garden, Dad? Needless to say, I've been playing a lot of football recently. This is all a bit like what Jesus goes on to say about prayer in Luke 11. He says, our Father wants us to be children who pray persistently. To understand the story that Jesus tells in verses 5 to 10, we need to really use our imagination. We need to imagine a world without 24-hour Tescos. And one where hospitality is incredibly important and not to give hospitality is shameful. What do you do when your friends arrive at your house late at night and you've got no food? Well, you bang on your next door neighbour's house. What happens if they can't be bothered to get out of bed? You keep on banging on their house until they get up and give you what you need. The key teaching about prayer is in verses 9 and 10. Look at them with me. It says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. God wants us to pray repeatedly, over and over again, and to keep going, like an impudent neighbour desperate to get what they need, or a child who really likes football. And the promise is, of course, that God, you know, he isn't this kind of reluctant, inhospitable, probably slightly grumpy neighbour. He's our Heavenly Father. Who wants to give us every good thing, but he doesn't want to coin a phrase, shy children, who don't want to ask for things, but disciples who know where to get good things and who ask for them persistently, showing their faith in him. The Apostle Paul, this time writing to the Ephesians, instructed them to be persistent in prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18, he wrote that they should be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and that to that end they should keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Christians are called not just to pray, but to pray persistently, which isn't always easy. So let's ask another key question. How can I pray persistently? Again, thank you to all who contributed to these practical pieces of advice. Let's think about two sides to persistent prayer. On the one hand, I think persistent prayer is about getting organised. When am I going to regularly pray? What am I going to ask for? Many people find like writing lists helpful, or again using prayer apps, working through topics or prayer letters. Some people like set timers or reminders or write it in their calendar or whatever it is to remind them to pray or regularly pray with others. In short, on the one hand, persistent prayer involves getting a bit organised. On the other hand, persistent prayer can also be said to be about like cultivating an attitude of prayer so that our response to bad things happening is prayer. And our response to good things happening is prayer. Having a heart that's always looking to our Father in heaven so we don't go straight to despair. We don't go straight to pride. We go straight to him. This attitude of prayer will come, of course, as we understand more deeply, as it were, who God is by reading his word and through prayer as he sanctifies us by his Holy Spirit. I wonder whether you could talk to someone after the meeting today about how you might become more persistent in prayer. Finally then, we've said that Christians pray persistently. Let's add that Christians pray persistently to our Heavenly Father. You don't have to look very far, we've seen that this morning, to find examples of a father's love and kindness towards his kids. An interesting example is the one-time richest man in the world, Bill Gates. Bill Gates' current fortune is estimated at $144 billion. He has three children, and for a long time, he's said they'll, I know this sounds like a lot, but they'll only receive $10 million as their inheritance. It sounds like a lot, but it's less than 1% of what they'd otherwise receive from him. And he's said this. He said, I definitely think leaving kids massive amounts of money is not a favour to them. It's a tough love stance, but I think it's something that most people would agree with. It's a different and surprising example of how a father loves his children. And we've finished this section of Luke 11 with a parable emphasising God the Father's love for his children. Look at verses 11 and 12. Of course, we thought about this earlier, didn't we? What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Fathers don't give their children snakes and scorpions. I think we've covered that, haven't we? They give them fish and eggs and ice creams. We trust our earthly fathers to give us good things. Experience tells children that daddy knows best, and they understand that their father gives them good things. The snake scorpion scenario is unthinkable. Similarly then, we must trust that the God is our Heavenly Father, that he loves us and wants what is best for us. In other words, when we pray, we can and should have assurance that we're praying to a Father who loves us. And after we pray, we can relax and trust that, as Paul writes in Romans 8, God is going to work all things for the good of those who love him. He's going to do us good. It's worth emphasising this because our lives, well, they aren't always going to be sunshine and rainbows. We aren't always in our emotions going to kind of feel the warmth of God's fatherly love. Maybe we are struggling to connect with that emotionally even this week. But Jesus says we must trust that God is our Father and that he's a Father who, come rain or shine, will love us. He'll always be there for us, and he wants us to call out to him. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 also comes up in Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 7, verse 11. And I wonder whether you can spot the difference. Something a bit lighter here. Spot the difference. Very simple. So Matthew 7 verse 11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, Luke 11 verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says the Father will give good things to those who ask him. In Luke's Gospel, did you notice he's more specific? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This might be a moment for us, a bit like when Bill Gates' children were told that they wouldn't be getting $40-odd billion as their inheritance. But God knows what is best for us. The Holy Spirit is our welcome to the family present. God may give us money and other good things, but what we really need is to know him and to be loved by him. Everything else is secondary. A good way of consolidating our trust in our loving Heavenly Father is to consider what he has done for us personally. Around Crossway, there are so many stories of answered prayer and God's provision. It would be another really encouraging thing to do, to ask people how he has answered their prayers in different ways. Personally, I'm so grateful to God for supplying my needs, both spiritually and physically. Despite some hairy moments, he's kept my family safe and fed and in nice accommodation. And more importantly, he's kept us Christian and kept us growing in his Holy Spirit. I look back at particular moments in my life, and I'm sure many of us can do the same, and I think, my God in heaven loves me, and I don't need to worry about the future because he's shown his love for me so much already. And of course, all Christians must ultimately look back to God's ultimate expression of love, which is the cross and say, God loves me. What could I possibly not want to talk to him about? We've seen today that Christians pray persistently to our Heavenly Father. I hope I've gone some way to convincing you this morning that prayer is important, that it is in many ways a means of grace that God uses to bless us, and that therefore our lives should be full of prayers to our Heavenly Father. Well, let's take that privilege and pray to him together now. Father God, please help each one of us to grow in the area of prayer. Help us to love you as a Father and know your love for us. As we learn to in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to you. Help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.